everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is June 24th, 2025, if you're listening live. And on today's show, as promised, we really are going to do that deep dive into Jupiter in Cancer. Now, of course, there are other things going on this week. Jupiter moved on the 9th, and we just haven't gotten around to doing what I like to call the deep dive. And of course, with Jupiter being such a huge planet, we could do that deep dive for weeks. But some of the things that are going on this week that I certainly would want you to pay attention to, we have a new moon that's going to be on Wednesday. That's tomorrow, June 25th. That new moon is in Cancer. So we got lots and lots of water, emotional, sensitive energy out there right now with the sun in Cancer, the new moon in Cancer, Jupiter in Cancer. I mean, it's a good thing we're talking about Cancer today. And also this week, Mercury is going to make a move on Thursday. That's the 26th of June. Mercury is going to move into Leo. And to tell you the truth, I love Mercury in Leo, so I really want to talk about that. But I thought we'll hold that conversation off until next week with all the details, because actually, it's going to be in Leo for a long time until the beginning of September. So we've got more time than usual to talk about Mercury in Leo. So I think we'll do that next week. But in the meantime, check out Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter, because I write an article in there along with a number of other people. There's some wonderful metaphysical and spiritual and you know, esoteric articles in Mark's Power Peak every single week. It is free. All you have to do is go on to 12listen.com or onto 12house.com and just subscribe to the newsletter, and then you'll get it every single week. But the article I write is called The Week Ahead. And in that particular article, you're going to see everything day by day by day. And it's going to reflect or tell you, where's the moon? You know, how many days is the moon in this particular sign? When's it going to move? When's it going to move out? And it's also going to tell you about these planets. So it's going to tell you exactly when Mercury moves into Leo. When is that new moon? On Wednesday. So you can get all those details in Mark's Power Peak. So I highly recommend that you subscribe to that. Like I said, it's free. We do not sell those addresses, so you don't have to worry about signing up and then getting, you know, mail from everybody and their brother, right? So sign up for Mark's Power Peak and then check out all those details about Mercury's move to Leo and the new moon in Cancer. You can find that right there. And one other announcement before we get on with Jupiter, and that is Everyday Astrology shows, as you know, they're being archived on 12radio.com. You know, when you go to the website, you hit on demand, you choose my name, and you can find those old, you know, shows, 6 months worth of them. But now we are starting to archive those. We're putting them up on my YouTube channel. I just started a new YouTube channel. It's called, believe it or not, Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks. That's not too difficult, is it? So you'll find those there too. Now, we're not broadcasting live on YouTube. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We just have to take it one day at a time. But we are archiving the shows up there. So if you want to go find them, if that's a medium that you really like and you want to go listen to the shows up there, you can. They will be posted afterwards. I don't know, you know, this is all brand new to me, so I don't know how long it's going to take me to get it, but hopefully there will be a point at which I'll do the show, and then a few hours later, you'll find it on YouTube if you want to hear it that way. So let's get going. Those of you who have been with me for a while, you know that we do have a private group over on Facebook, and you can come join me over there if you'd like to do that. And the best way to get there is to go to 12radio.com. And look for the chat button. And when you hit the chat button, it automatically redirects you over to our private group on Facebook. So come on over there and join me if you'd like to do that this morning. But I'll tell you, I'm going to be in a whirl. I'm going to try to check that out, but I'm going to be in a whirl today just talking about Jupiter. I love Jupiter. And of course, you hear me say that about every single planet, because I think in some ways I do. I mean, I'm an astrologer. Something drew me to this particular profession. I love these planets and talking about them. And I love all the psychological and emotional associations they make in our lives. They don't do anything. They don't cause anything. But I think they certainly reflect mass consciousness. And they often reflect things that are going on in our world. So the more we understand them or their associations astrologically, it's just more fun. That's it. To me, astrology is a lens that makes life fun. I love looking for all the synchronicities. So let's just get into Jupiter and we'll see how far we get. I want to open with one of my very favorite quotes about Jupiter. This is from Carolyn W. Casey, and she says, "Open my path before me and grant me the opportunity to be of maximum good in the world." What a wonderful quote. And of course, you hear a very Jupiter word, opportunity, and the idea of being of maximum good in the world. Maximum, of course, is very Jupiter. But I think this is also particularly, you know, appropriate for Jupiter in Cancer. And as we talk about that, you know, you'll see why I think it is. Maximum good in the world. Now, an alternate, you know, statement about Jupiter or quote for Jupiter would almost always be go big or go home. So just the facts. Outside of the sun, Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system. Scientists estimate that if you put all the other planets together, Jupiter would still be bigger than that ball of planets, even if you multiplied it 2.5 times. So once again, it's huge. And even though it's not as big as the sun, but astrologically speaking, the sun is kind of in a class of its own because all those other planets rotate around it. But Jupiter, he's the big guy. And mythologically, it's linked to Zeus, who of course is the king or the chief of all the gods. So if Jupiter, you know, kind of gets too big for his britches sometimes, you can understand why. You know, physiologically or astrologically or astronomy-wise, he's the biggest planet. And he represents that whole idea of expansion and growth and increase in our lives. Those are words you can hang on to. And I'm going to give you a whole lot of words today, a whole lot of qualities and characteristics of Jupiter. But when you think of expansion, that's always Jupiter. That's what he does. He makes everything he touches bigger by his presence. Jupiter spends, on average, 12 months in each sign. So what that means, it's a nice little tag there, because it's not like 2.5, it's not 29.5, it's 12 months in each sign, which means that it has an orbit around the sun of 12 years. So every 12 years, Jupiter returns to where it was. You know, that's the cycle that it has. So its current transit started on June 9th, 2025. That's when it moved into the sign of Cancer, and it will stay there until June 29th of 2026. Now, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure because I've checked it out. And, you know, but then again, sometimes I'm checking out so many planets, I'll get them confused. But I believe in this particular transit, Jupiter is not going to retrograde back into Gemini at all. I mean, it is there during those dates, June 9th this year through June 29th of 2026. Now, one thing that's always fun to do is to go back and compare. So the last time that Jupiter was in Cancer was June 25th, 2013 through July 16th, 2014. So you might think, you know, basically the end of this, you know, I guess July of 2013 through, you know, the middle of July 2014. And here again, I always caution you, because you could go back and say, oh, well, this happened, or this is what was going on in my life. I think it's going to give you a big clue as to what's going on this time. Something maybe that you want to continue, something that you want to start over, something that's complete and now you're ready to move on. But the caution is that remember all the other planets were in different locations. So it's not as if you can go back 12 years and go and say, okay, this is a repeat performance. It's not, but there will be similarities. Now, I haven't gone back, and in fact, this is another thing we may do in shows coming up, but I haven't gone back to look and see exactly what was going on between 2013 and 2014. But one thing I'm pretty sure of that I think is interesting timing, and sometimes you find this with the planets, and once again, it's not because they cause them. It just happens to be the energy has built up, and that's what happens. On June 26th of 2013, that's the day after Jupiter moved into Cancer, is the day the Supreme Court struck down key parts of the DOMA, which is the Defense of Marriage Act. And why that's important is that was laying the foundation to legalize gay marriage. And I think that's incredible that, I mean, it was a process that was going on. So you can't just hang on that one date and say, ooh, Jupiter did it. But I think it's interesting it happened literally the day after Jupiter moved. And that was very, very important to what came afterwards. And why is it so interesting? It's because think about it, marriage, cancer, family, home. It's a key thing about what that means to us, you know, what those definitions are to us. So it's interesting that it happened. Now, so what happens when Jupiter goes back into Cancer? How, you know, how are we looking at that? How are we redefining that? Is it going to be like some of the other things in our lives where we're going back and we're kind of repealing or going back and changing them? We're trying to move, I'd say, backwards. I don't know. Or will we be moving forwards? But there again, that's one thing that happened. You might go and see other things that were happening at the same time. And once again, see where are we in those 12 years since blah, blah, blah happened? And are we still in the same place? Are we still going round and round? How have we increased it? How have we built upon it? How have we expanded the idea? So something to think about. So Jupiter, and here again, I told you, I'm going to give you so many characteristics. I'm going to give you so many words. And certain ones I think will jump out at you. And you're going to go, ooh, that's Jupiter. That's the one I'm going to remember, or the couple that I'm going to remember. So I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you, but here again, these shows are archived if you want to go back and listen to them again. Jupiter rules Sagittarius, the sign Sagittarius. Sag, of course, is the centaur, the wounded healer, the teacher, and the student. Now, not to be confused, once Chiron as an asteroid was identified, it was associated with the centaur, the wounded healer. But if you go back into all the mythology of Sagittarius, it was always the centaur who was the mathematician, the scientist, the teacher, and the student, and was often referred to as the wounded healer. So that's where I'm getting that. I'm talking very traditional. And speaking of tradition, Jupiter was the ruler, the traditional ruler of Pisces. So when you hear some of the characteristics of Jupiter, you might say, oh, well, that sounds like a Pisces trait, not a Sagittarian trait. Well, Jupiter was the ruler of Pisces before the planet Neptune was identified. When Neptune was identified, astrologers collectively decided that Neptune was the ruler. I mean, at least according to this classification system. But you'll see that association with Jupiter as well. Jupiter is the ruler of the ninth house of the astrology chart. Now here again, thinking about all this information, if you know some astrology, if you know your own chart, then what I'm telling you is, see, Jupiter, as we talk, and whenever we talk about Jupiter, or when something's going on with Jupiter in the sky, everybody can actually go look at their ninth house and see what's going on in their ninth house. Now, in this case, of course, I also want you to be thinking about, where's Cancer in your natal chart? What is the house or the houses that Jupiter in Cancer is going to activate for you? But it's also the ruler of the ninth. So we'll see some associations up there too. That's how astrology works. It's all connected together. And you'll see how that often works in your chart if you watch it. So rules the ninth house, rules Sagittarius, but was the traditional ruler of Pisces. Now, the association in Tarot is the Wheel of Fortune, which makes so much sense. And of course, something I'm going to tell you a little bit later makes it even more so. Keep in mind, we determine our fortune. We determine our success. And the Wheel of Fortune in Tarot is so much about, some people think, oh, if you get that card, then everything's lucky. What the Wheel of Fortune often says is that there's a whole panorama. There's a whole wheel of things that can be happening. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. But one thing, it's always going to keep turning. It's always going to change. And that's an important concept too. When I said Jupiter touches everything, you know, or expands everything, I mean, sometimes I've joked with clients about the fact that Jupiter going into the first house, well, the first house has to do with the mask that we wear, the way we present ourselves. And if you're unconscious about what you're really trying to do, maybe you are trying to make another mark in the world. Maybe you're trying to increase your presence. But you know what some people do? They gain weight. And maybe that weight is because they're trying to emulate Jupiter on an unconscious level, or they're trying to have a bigger presence in the world. Now, it is kind of funny when you think about it, right? Now, you're looking at your chart and going, oh my God, Jupiter's going into my first house. Don't worry about the weight thing. But recognize, I think Jupiter in the first house is one of the luckiest places it can be, because it says, yes, I want to make a presence. I want to know who I am. I want to have a bigger sense of meaning in my life. And I want other people to see it. I want them to see it on my face. I want them to pick it up in my behavior, in my personality. But like I said, on an unconscious level, if we're feeling it, and just think about how many things go on kind of on an unconscious level. If I say, you know, people don't pay attention to me, you know, I just disappear, nobody notices me, well, gain some weight, and then you're a bigger presence. It may not be the best way to do that, but it's certainly one way to do it. Or maybe it's simply a reflection that I want to attract good to me. I want to enjoy all the plenty that Earth has to give me this particular lifetime. So maybe it's not even considered a negative. Hey, I just want to gain some weight. You know, I want to take it all in. So Wheel of Fortune in the Tarot and Jupiter, that wheel keeps turning. So here are a number of words and associations and concepts that we think about with Jupiter. Expansion. Growth, exploration beyond the familiar. Remember that if you really think about who Jupiter, you know, and Sagittarius is as well, you know, the teacher wandering, seeking the truth, look, you know, trying to have as many experiences as possible. So definitely being the explorer, being the universal investigator. I want to check it out. I want to see, I want to learn. I want to go on a quest, and then I want to teach, I want to share what I've learned. So Jupiter is associated with higher education. He's associated with wisdom and principles and authority, social involvement, even more so than you consider Venus. He's involved with ethics and belief systems. Now, I'm going to go into those a little bit more. Right now, I just want to give you these concepts, but I'll explain why Jupiter is involved in some of those things in a few minutes. So ethics and belief systems, abundance, generosity, opportunity. That's definitely a Jupiter word. Jupiter is involved with the law. And here again, see that whole thing, social involvement, ethics, belief systems, and the law. Storytelling as the way that we make sense of information. Even though I see Gemini as a storyteller, which is the opposite sign, Sagittarius is definitely the storyteller ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is a collage artist, able to take a whole lot of experiences and trying to figure out what does a big picture look like. Jupiter is associated with travel and games and having fun. Associated with theater, especially theater as a teaching mechanism. Somebody was just telling me last night about one of the Greek, you know, tragedies. And I thought, you know, just kind of thinking about that, forever, we have always been telling ourselves stories, you know, and all those stories seem to have these, in a sense, common links, you know, common things that we think are true about human nature, true about the world. So some of those stories, it's like, oh my gosh, how old are they? 2,000 years old? I mean, I don't know, but it's just amazing that, you know, they were acting out all these stories. And in some ways, nothing ever changes. You know, that whole thing, there's nothing new under the sun. Jupiter is associated with taking risks. There again, the, you know, it can be gambling. Games, gambling, risk-taking. It's associated with joy and being jovial and just being vigorous in everything that you do, just, you know, really grabbing onto it. It's associated with being liberal. And there again, try to move away from the political spectrum. Think of liberal as Jupiter says, I want as many experiences as I can get. I want to check it all out. So when we say liberal-minded for Jupiter, it has more to do not with politics, but with this whole idea of, I want to hear it all. You know, I'm not going to conserve. I don't pull back. Remember, Saturn is the one that is conservative, pulls back, congeals, you know, puts, you know, concentrates energy. Well, Jupiter says, no, I want to hear it all. I'm going to be liberal about it. I want to hear everything. So in many ways, Jupiter's considered being unprejudiced, open-minded, open-handed. And of course, we haven't talked too much about the flip side, the shadow. But what happens when you've got lots and lots and lots and you're pushing, pushing, pushing? Well, Jupiter is the planet of excess and overdoing, you know, growing out of proportion, doing something too much. So Jupiter is also associated with the liver. And when you think about the liver in the body, what does it do? It cleans out. You know, it's a cleansing organ. And so if you overdo it, whether sometimes it has to do with sugar, or you overdo it with fats, or you overdo it with alcohol or drugs, what is the organ that's going to take, you know, kind of get smacked down by having to overwork? It's going to be the liver. So there's the association that way too. It's also associated with the color violet, which I think probably has to do with that kind of idea of purple or majesty, you know, Zeus being the king of the gods. So there again, you know, as I say these things or you hear that and you go, violet, I love violet, or you want to increase Jupiter's influence in your life, or rather, when you look at something, you want to think of Jupiter, something you want to be reminded of, then maybe you use the color. So moving on, here again, one of the things I want you to kind of hang on to with Jupiter is to think about generally. What makes me feel successful? What makes me feel lucky? What makes me feel fortunate? And we're going to talk a little bit more about those ideas, but I want you to think about that right now. That's what Jupiter is. What makes me feel lucky? And here again, you've lived long enough. I don't know how old this whole audience is, but think about it. You know, ever since you were a kid, you realize some people like one thing, some people like the vanilla ice cream, and some people like the chocolate. So what, you know, you give one kid something they don't want, they're not going to feel lucky, right? Whereas another kid gets that vanilla ice cream cone and they feel very, very lucky. So it's an individual thing to some extent, but what makes you feel lucky? And some of the clues to that are looking in your own chart. Where is your Jupiter? What house is it in? Where is it really affecting? What are the activities? What are the areas where you feel lucky? And what sign is it in? Because the sign is going to tell you also what makes you feel lucky. Now, of course, when we really look at it astrologically, we're also going to look at all the other connections. What planets is it connected to? Who's it talking to? Does it oppose some of the planets? It's sitting right next door to some of the planets. You know, what makes you feel lucky? What helps you attract into your life those kinds of experiences that you want, that help you increase, that help you find greater meaning in your life. Because ultimately, that's what Jupiter's about. You want all those experiences because you're kind of going, what's it all about, Alfie? I want to know. I want to understand what life is like. And Jupiter helps me go through all these experiences and put them all together and figure it out, which is kind of the next thing I want to mention is, and here again, I'm going to put it in context of Sagittarius and Gemini. But Gemini is a sign ruled by Mercury, which is, to me, it's this busy little bee going about getting all this information. Here's all the information. I like the idea of a bookstore. You know, Gemini just has all these thousands and thousands of pieces of information and books. But you need Sagittarius as a sign, hence Jupiter, to say, well, we need to sift through this. We need to organize this material. We need to figure out how is it connected together. What does it all mean? What is the pattern? Now, I'm not saying, you know, Gemini doesn't care about patterns, but you guys have heard me say this a number of times, and this is how I see it. If you walked into a bookstore, they've got thousands of books, and you said, hey, can you point me to some astrology books? And the person said, well, hey, they're all over the store. Just look for them. That would be kind of a Gemini thing. But a Sagittarian thing, a Jupiter thing would be to say, oh, well, I've organized them. They're all on that shelf. They're all in that room. They're all together in that place. Because that's what Jupiter does. Jupiter takes all this information, looks at it, sifts it, you know, looks at all the little pieces and finds how it all connects or how it doesn't connect, which is why Jupiter becomes associated with philosophy and guidelines or laws or ethics, because it says, oh, how does this all connect together? So what is my life philosophy? That's what makes my life meaningful, because I've put all these pieces together and I've come up with this particular philosophy or these guidelines or these laws. Now, hopefully, as Jupiter is healthy in our lives, we evolve and we keep changing those according to new information. We don't just get stuck and say, okay, I came up with this personal philosophy at 10 and I'm not getting off of it. Now, maybe you were a particularly smart and astute and wise 10-year-old. So I'm not saying you throw everything away, but Jupiter continues to gather the information, assimilate it into the big pot to decide how the philosophy or the guidelines or the laws are changing. It sees those emerging patterns and the organizing principles. Another example I like to give is, you know, if you were talking about Mercury or Gemini, you talk about beads. You know, here's this whole collection of beads. You walk into a room and there's all these colorful beads. There's black and red, and some of them are shiny and some of them are big. Some of them have patterns on them. But Jupiter / Sagittarius is going to carefully select those beads and string them together on a necklace. Now, from time to time, they may also say, okay, I want this to look different. I don't want the black and white pattern anymore. I want it to be all colors, or I want all the reds together, all the turquoise, or all the big beads over here, the little beads there. But to me, Gemini or Mercury is all the beads, and Jupiter Sagittarius is stringing them together in a necklace. What does it look like? What is the pattern? And when you think about Jupiter in our lives, that's very much what it reflects. What are the patterns that we're attracted to? What are the patterns? How do we see it? How does life look to us? So in short, Carolyn Casey, who I had quoted before, she talks about the way you really honor Jupiter in your life is by questing, going out and getting all those experiences, learning, teaching, traveling, feasting, and storytelling. So there again, you might want to think about some of those things. Do you want to pull Jupiter into your life? Do you want to court Jupiter in your life? Do you want to like really play with Jupiter? Those are some of the things that you can do. And specifically, learning and teaching and traveling and feasting and storytelling, all those things are ways that you honor that Jupiter energy in your chart, in your life. And here again, this is just an idea. It's built off some of the things that we've already said. But Jupiter in Cancer specifically, we're going to talk about Cancer next, can be our vehicle, our way of being a force for the greater good in our social groups, in our communities, and in the world. But only if we're aware of our biases, our predispositions, our prejudices, and our partialities. So here again, taking all of our experiences and understanding how we're connecting them all together. But truly, Jupiter in Cancer is wonderful. I think it could be a really, really good energy at this time, because it takes the energy of what we start with Cancer of our family, and we move that energy outwards into our communities and into the world. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's an energy that we can use for good. So now let's spend some time talking about Cancer. And remember that some of these things, they apply not just to Jupiter, but to any planet that's sitting in Cancer or is using this particular energy, which of course right now is the sun. And it is also that new moon that's coming tomorrow. And that new moon, by the way, I mean, we see it is lasting for 29 and a half days. It's a pattern that gets set. So Cancer is a water sign, and water is sensitive. Water is intuitive. It's perceptive. It's subjective. Water belongs to the heart and feelings and emotions. It's about being psychic, picking up energy, water sensitivity. You know, if you want to see it as yin yang, it would definitely be yin. But Cancer is also cardinal. You know, all of the signs of the zodiac are associated with an element, which is the water, fire, earth, air, but they're also associated with a modality. And cardinal energy is the mover and the shakers of the zodiac. Those are the signs that begin a new season, like Aries opens up spring. Cancer opens up summer, Libra opens up fall, and Capricorn the winter. So this is an energy. When it comes back around, it's got a lot of energy. It generates energy. It initiates action. So there again, it's a mistake to think of Cancer as water and going, oh, well, they're just so incredibly subjective and sensitive that you can pretty much just push them anywhere you want. Not true. This is a cardinal sign, you know, and if you guys have known some pretty strong Cancers, you know what I'm talking about. Cancer is the path of creativity, and Cancer is actually ruled by the moon. So that's another thing you may find is with Jupiter and Cancer, maybe it feels like you're going through all these ups and downs, waning and waxing. And is the tide in or is the tide out? See, those threads all fit together. It's not just flat. It's not just two-dimensional. It's Jupiter, all right. It's increase. But maybe we see throughout, you know, different months that it does seem to wax and wane based on what the moon is doing. So the archetypes for Cancer, what do we think about when we think about Cancer? We certainly think about the mother. This is the energy of the mother, of the Empress in Tarot, of the one who gives life, fertility. But it's not just about giving life. It's taking care of life. It's molding life. It's influencing, teaching, and guiding life. You know, mothers, I mean, I'm sure, you know, like with birds and stuff, for the most part, maybe they just have those little babies. They have those eggs. And once they fly away, they fly away. But this is the idea of not maybe having to be the mother for the rest of your life, but taking care of the life that you create. But this is the process of creation, whether or not it's children or it's projects or it's relationships or whatever it is that you're doing, you're giving life during this period. That's how Jupiter increases itself. How it increases meaning in our lives is through that fertility, being the mother, being the caregiver, being the nurturer and the protector. But here's the one I want you to think about. Cancer is the crab. And they're, you know, usually in astrology, and this one is no exception. If you really look at the example of the animal. It just tells you so much about how a particular sign works. So some of the ideas that are so important with a crab, number one, now, and here again, I know they're soft shell crabs, but think about a crab generically or generally. It's got a crab. I mean, it's got a shell, a hard shell. So that represents our ability to have appropriate boundaries. Now, of course, can those become defenses? Yes, they can. But the idea is to have appropriate boundaries to protect yourself while also having this very vulnerable, sensitive, inner kind of sweet center. That's the Cancer. You know, those mothers are not all just totally sweet. They can be kind of harsh at times. They can set those boundaries. So there again, when we're thinking about Jupiter and Cancer, that's one of the things we are going to go back and forth with. You know, are we just being overly protective? Are we being defensive, like my family and not yours, and stay out of my house and stay out of my country and stay out of my world? You know, checking on, are we using defenses or boundaries? And are we using them appropriately? And you know what? We're going to go back and forth. There's going to be those moments when we probably go, wow, I didn't need to be that harsh. I probably didn't need to do that. And then other times we think, boy, I should have seen that coming. You know, how did I let, you know, why didn't I use a boundary for that? So those are some of the issues that are going to come up. But with the mythology of Cancer, it's important to know too that there's a lot of issues around mother love and sacrifice in the mythology of Cancer. Because in fact, the story goes, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but one of the mythological stories is that, you know, the woman who she marries a husband who is, I'm trying to think, she's mortal and, or maybe she's immortal and she marries a mortal. So she ends up having all these kids, but what she realizes is her children are not immortal. And now she's upset because she wants to give that particular characteristic to them. So she does what she can to literally change them from mortal into immortal. And the story goes that she's, I mean, it's kind of gross, but she's burning them up so that they become immortal. And her husband grabs the seventh child by the heel. And so that child doesn't ever become totally immortal. And that's the Achilles heel, because that child still has a mortal ankle. So there again, you know, that mythology is kind of crazy. But the idea here is that a mother will do almost anything for their children. You know, that whole idea of sacrificing for your children, but it's also that idea of wanting your children to be superhuman. You know, you want them to be more than immortal. So once again, some of these things may be coming up for us. Like if we have leftover issues, and I say leftover, I don't know if they ever leave us, but you know, the whole issues of being part of a family and whether you knew your mother or you didn't know your mother, or maybe you had several mothers because you had a birth mother, maybe you had an adopted mother, maybe you had a stepmother, all those issues of somebody nurturing and being a mother, there's all those issues that could come up with Jupiter because it increases, right? It makes us really think about some of those issues related to either being taken care of, not being taken care of, or taking care of others. But remember too that in the grand scheme of things, Cancer is associated with summer. You know, the longest day of the year, the boundary between the past and the future. And it's this idea that, you know, if you think about all the baby animals being born in the spring, then you've got this Cancer energy coming in summer, which is playing with all these babies, you know, raising all these babies, you know, bringing them to maturity. So there's a lot of wonderful kind of summer, great, you know, fun activities, vacation that's associated with Cancer, but also some responsibility as well. You know, who do we have responsibility for? Who are we overseeing or training? Who's in our charge? So see all of these. Now, a lot of these ideas you may go, you know what? It's not resonating at all. It's just not hitting me, and that's fine. But on some level, it's going to be there. Like for some of you, this may be more of a political thing, because instead of just family, it may really go to who's my community, who's my country, who's my world, what responsibility do I have? And I think within Jupiter and Cancer, there's this idea of looking at what you consider to be faithfulness and safety and security and nurturing and caretaking, and applying it not just to home and family, but applying it to a bigger world, to a bigger group. This also might be a time when somebody who feels really left out or really lonely says, you know what? I really need to create a tribe around me. That's what I need to do. I need to create family. I need to find my soul group. I need to find who I'm comfortable with, and maybe even recognize who I don't feel comfortable with and why. You know, why do I not feel comfortable with that? Why do I feel like I do need to be the crab and, you know, pull away? By the way, one idea I didn't mention, and I do want to mention this, it's kind of a show in itself, but a crab moves fastest by moving side to side. And that's an important concept. I could tell you lots of stories about people, especially with lots of Cancer energy, that when they want you to do something or they're trying to influence you, they never come straight on. They're always going to come from the side. They've got kind of a roundabout way of bringing you to where they want you to be. And like I said, I got a lot of experience with this. And I think in some ways that it's really funny. But keep that in mind too, because even though this is, in a sense, a headstrong sign, this is a cardinal sign, usually the crab has a, you know, roundabout way of getting where they want you to go. And oftentimes that's it. They, you know, in fact, the old sales thing, if you want somebody to say yes, you ask them the easy questions first. So they say, yes, is this your name? Yes. Is this your neighborhood? Yes. You get somebody saying yes. You get them on the yes train. You don't just automatically say, hey, do you want to buy $1,000 worth of cookware? You know, that kind of thing. And so Cancer is excellent at that, of just kind of winding around and making the story. But you also have to be careful with that, because sometimes you find somebody is just like, yeah, taking you down the, what do they call it? The path. And you're like, where are we going? What is this? Where are you trying to end up? Just tell me. So it can be kind of annoying too. Because it's just like, tell me what you want. In fact, I told you a few weeks ago how the guy came to my door, and I'm not going to retell you the story, but basically when I finally, after trying to get through all this crap, I said, are you selling something? And he goes, well, indirectly. Of course, I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, you know, that's Jupiter in Cancer. He didn't even want to say, well, yeah, that's what I'm doing here at your door. I'm ultimately trying to get you to buy something. So I mean, you know, it makes you laugh because it's just a very Jupiter in Cancer thing. Indirectly, he's trying to sell something, but he wants to stand there and go through all this other stuff first before we kind of get to the crux of it. So a few more things that I want to mention. Some of these I've written in the Power Peak, and I also, I think, mentioned them in previous shows, so we'll go through them quickly. But Jupiter in Cancer, one idea that we haven't explored is that this is the art of giving and receiving. And I want you to think about that too. Ultimately, giving and receiving are the same coin. They're flip sides of the same thing. And you sort of have to increase them and expand them together. And in fact, Raven Caldera, an astrologer that I like some of his stuff, he tells the story of Jupiter in Cancer being associated with an Earth mother goddess called Nzambi. And he says she disguises herself as an old beggar and, you know, a beggar woman. And it almost sounds like, you know, Beauty and the Beast. So the old beggar woman comes to a home asking for food. Well, the story goes, because here again, it's kind of mythology. It's, you know, a story that those who give her scraps, those people, what they find in their life, their flow of resources just kind of trickles down into meager scraps in the future. Those who bring her in and give her a place by the fire are rewarded by great health and wealth. And those who turn her away completely, well, they lose what they have. So the idea is, you know, maybe if nothing else, you say, hey, I don't want to work with family. I don't want to work with any of this other stuff. Maybe during this period, it's just working with that idea of giving and receiving. What does that mean to you? When you give something, is it always to get something back from somebody else? And most of the time it is, but it's unconscious. We're not even aware that that's really what we're doing. We're saying, well, I'll trade something to you if you like me, or if you'll give me something back in the future. And I mean, and sometimes it's even more conscious. We go ahead and we're abundant, or we're very gracious, or give somebody something because we're hoping for a return in the future. So that's another idea that we can really play with at this time, is giving and receiving. So once again, what makes you lucky? What makes you feel like you're successful and rich and wealthy? You know, what is it? How does it work? But here are those few ideas I wanted to go over, you know, quickly. This is the time to create family and or prioritize relationships. To really think about your relationships, which ones do you want to develop, nurture, and grow? How do you want to create those bonds? What does your soul group look like, or that tribe? You know, is this a time to repair? Is this a time to regenerate? Is it a time for healing? You know, either on your own, just healing, you know, going back to some of those issues of your family of origin, or just healing in general around relationships with people. It's a great time to really think about where you live in your home. Build your nest. Build that safe place that nurtures your growth and your well-being. I mean, think about it. Even in your own home, if you share it with a lot of people, do you have that space that is yours that you feel like really does nurture you? Maybe it's a corner of a room. Maybe it's a whole room. But this is the time. You know, have you been wanting to carve that out for yourself? Well, this is the time to do it, to create, build, maintain, renovate, care for. Maybe this is, you know, real estate is real big with Jupiter in Cancer. So is it time to buy, to sell, to invest, renovate? You know, where are you on that spectrum? Here again, when in doubt, go right back to that idea of the crab. Be a survivor. Maintain your boundaries while also maintaining that soft center. You know, try not to get into the defensive posture. Just protect yourself. Know what you need to thrive. Create the balance. Even though Libra is a sign of balance, that's what this is too. Have balance in your life. Balance between your work and your home. You know, this is also, by the way, for those of you interested, a great time to develop your intuition, practice your psychic abilities, or your creative abilities. Is there something you just really want to make or create? Well, this is the time to do it. This is the time to expand your connections, to create a wider network in your community. And once again, think about that idea of how do we extend our family values, and I say that hopefully in the most positive of ways, into the world in a loving, gentle, nurturing way. How can we coexist and live harmoniously with other people? That's what we want to think about. And by the way, we're not going to get into this, but in, you know, all of the planets are considered, there's characteristics when they're in different signs. Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. It's a great place for Jupiter to be. Jupiter loves to be in Cancer. So this is a great time for going into all these things that we've talked about and for attracting wealth and prosperity into your life. But once again, you need to rethink and know, how do you define that? What is lucky? And I think I can tell you this really quick. You might have heard me say it on Kelly's show. But I had this really funny thing happen to me just a couple of weeks ago when I was actually thinking about Jupiter moving into Cancer. Because I'm studying Italian using an Italian app on my phone, you know, a language app. And I've been doing it for a while, so I certainly know a lot of words. Well, sometimes they'll ask you a question that they have not asked you before. So they're wondering, you know, the algorithm is trying to get you to put words together or come up with phrases. So it asked me, translate good luck. So I responded with what I thought would be typical, and it was buona fortuna, right? Good fortune. Well, to my surprise, the phone made that little sound that goes, meh, you know, wrong, you did it wrong. And I'm like, what? And then it says, in Bocca al Lupo. Well, I'd never heard that phrase before, but I knew the words. Boca is mouth and Lupo is wolf. So I'm like, okay, this app must be really acting up, because why would in the mouth of the wolf mean good luck? But I went ahead and I Googled it and I checked it. And you know what? In Italian, to say in bocca al lupo is a way of saying good luck, because it goes back to some mythology of if you escape from the mouth of the wolf, you're lucky. But what that made me see, and you know, it was one of those wonderful experiences, is that we assume we know what it means to be successful, to be lucky. Well, you know what? Jupiter in Cancer is going to challenge that. You know, just like it always does, truthfully. But it's going to challenge our idea of what is luck? What is good fortune? And so that's something to think about too, because maybe we've been going down the wrong path. Now, I also wanted to do a shout out, and maybe I'll do this next week too, because to Barbara Moore, who is an author, and she has created several different tarot decks, one of which I use every single day. It's the steampunk, but she has a new one called the Good Fortune Tarot. And I'll tell you what, I got it a few weeks ago, and I am absolutely loving it. So I have some more about that, but I just wanted to throw that out there. If you guys are a collector of tarot or you like it, I mean, and how, you know, what great timing, because she literally, you know, talks about, I created this deck of good fortune because isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're trying to attract? And we're trying to define what that means. So let's just call it what it is. So it is the Good Fortune Tarot. And like I said, I'll talk more about that another time, but it's a wonderful deck, and I am so enjoying that particular deck. So that's what it is. So I'm looking at the clock, and I realize we got to go. I had some more material. Always, you know how that is. I always have more material, but we'll save it, and hopefully if it's important, we'll use it another time. So wrapping up, thank you so much for joining me over on Facebook, for those of you who did that today. Thanks for listening to this, either in the archives or possibly you're checking it out on YouTube. Thanks for just participating and being here today. Thanks to our producer, who is Serena. I would encourage you to stay tuned, because up next is more wonderful information, Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. That's coming up next here on 12radio.com. And here's the quote of the week. And this is Benjamin Franklin, who did have Jupiter in Cancer. And he says, happiness consists more in small conveniences of pleasure that occur every day than in great pieces of good fortune that happen but seldom to a man in the course of his life. And I think that's exactly kind of the how I want to see it, looking for all those moments of happiness throughout the day, and not just those once in a lifetime, good fortune, winning the lotto things, Jupiter and Cancer. So this is CA signing out. Please come find me on 12listen.com. Please feel free to request a scheduled call on a day and time that's good for you. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to Jupiter.